Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. It's another deserted island disc and it's another sunny day. So it seems that every Wednesday here, I know the international listeners to Deserted Island Disc want to know the weather in Sheffield. It is live here, 7 o'clock, and it's very, very sunny and very hot. So Deserted Island Disc, it's about people that were born in Ireland and now living in Sheffield. And tonight I've got one of my most sought after guests. I've wanted this man to come on the show from day one. He is one of my favourite, if not the favourite of mine, singers in Sheffield these days. It just every time I see him and hear him sing, he just gives a warm glow in my heart and it's great to see. So we've got Dennis Carmody in today. How are you doing, Dennis?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, he's a lovely, lovely man, Dennis. He's I've known him about 25 years from the different pubs and singing around Sheffield. But he's been a lot longer than that. And he now runs his own session on a Monday night in the Grapes, don't
yes,
you, Dennis?
In the Grapes, yeah.
Which is, well, one of my favourite sessions, and it's so popular, isn't it? It's always
yes,
like...
it's on Trippet Lane.
And it's how busy is it?
It's very busy on a Monday night. You can't get in.
That's it. Standing room only, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's great. And you've built that, Dennis, haven't you? I mean, it's... yeah, I know it's gone before, but you've been doing it...
I worked with John Dowland, one of the great Irish people from Ireland that spent years and years in Sheffield with his music. And he'd done an awful lot of charity as well, you know.
Yeah.
He walked from John O'Groats to Land's End and all that.
Yeah, and he did
raised
lots.
Thousands of pounds for I charity know, yeah. down the years.
He was a great man. Unfortunately, he passed away about
two or three years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And then you took over his Monday night session.
Yeah, I carried it on.
Yeah, and it's a great night. And if you see Dennis down there, you'll see him laughing and he dances and sings. Oh, it's fantastic. But we're here to talk about his life. And I suppose your start in life was quite a difficult one, wasn't it, Dennis?
It was because my parents died when I was very young. Yeah. My dad died... when I was 6 months old.
Yeah.
So I was sent to 1949.
Yeah.
So I was sent to the Nuns of Mercy yeah. for my education, my first years. And I spent 7 years with them.
Yeah.
And they looked after me.
And you did, I mean, your brother was with you once, he, and your sister?
He was, yeah.
And your sister, was it?
Yes, well? Yeah. Sadly, she passed about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
She died tragically in a road accident in Dublin.
So you were all kind of put in there. It's like yeah. an orphanage, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
then we were transferred from Killarney to Tralee.
So, yeah.
In 1957.
Yeah, so you're in Kerry, weren't you? You were yeah. born in Kerry in 1949.
Is that I was born on the brink of edge of North Kerry in Limerick.
So, yeah,
my certificate says Limerick.
Ah, okay.
So...
Is that what you say?
That's what it says, yeah.
What do you say? Is you a Kerry man or a Limerick man?
I'm a Limerick man.
You're a Limerick man.
I've got to go with my birth certificate.
You've got it on you, yeah. But so you were in, it was the nuns or the sisters, was
the
it?
Nuns, the Nuns of Mercy, they were known as
And
in Killarney.
Yeah, and that was not, how would you say that time? It's not a terrible time, was it? You've got fond memories of that place? Or?
Yes, I had fond memories with the Nuns of Mercy, yeah. They were good, they were really good. They were very jovial and they were great teachers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was later on when I had to move, when the Bible says you've reached the use of reason, which means you know right from wrong.
Okay.
That's what it actually means.
That. Yeah. I didn't know that.
You reach the use of reason, you know right from wrong, according to the Bible. So then we had to go and transfer to the monastery in Tralee.
Yeah, so is that like, so is that part of the confirmation, when you do your confirmation?
That's when I made my confirmation, yeah.
And then you kind of deemed old enough to reason
yeah.
and they made you move schools. And I suppose it was separating the boys from the girls as well.
Yeah, the girls were across the road in their nunnery.
Yeah, and your sister was across the road, yeah.
But
But you'd probably not see her that often once you'd moved schools.
No,
it was like...
Didn't see her at all. Separate,
no. But going back to your days with the nuns, you was telling me that they taught you some songs, or they'd sing.
That's where I really started all my music.
Yeah.
With the Nuns of Mercy,
So we'll play a song from that time, Dennis, yeah? So you wanted to play the Scottish Soldier, which...
That was one of the songs that always is in my mind when they used to sing that song.
So they used
to sing. Their own little choir, and they used to sing. We were only babbies.
Yeah,
and they
used
to sing for us. And that's etched in my brain, the Scottish Soldier.
Okay, let's play that. We've got Andy Stute's version.
A Scottish soldier who wandered far away and soldiered far away. There was none bolder with good broad shoulder. He'd fought in many a fray and fought and won. He'd seen the glory, he'd told the story of battles glorious and deeds victorious. But now he's sighing, his heart is crying to leave those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not Myland's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home. And now this soldier, this Scottish soldier, who wandered far away and soldiered far away, sees leaves are falling and death is calling, and he will fade away in that far land. He called his piper, his trusty piper, and bade him soundly a pibroch sad to play upon a hillside, but Scottish hillside, not on those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not Myland's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home. And now this soldier, this Scottish soldier, will wander far no more, and soldier far no more, and on a hillside, a Scottish hillside, you'll see a piper play his soldier home. He's seen the glory, he's told the story of battles glorious and deeds victorious. The bugles cease now, he is at peace now, far from those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not Myland's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not Myland's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home.
That's a Scottish Soldier by Andy Stute, which is the first pick of my very special guest, Dennis, who's here tonight talking about his life and his journey from, it was the borders we worked out, of Limerick
and Kerry.
And then coming over to Sheffield, which we'll get to at some point during the hour. And there's lots to talk about there as well. So we talked about your time with the sisters, and then from the age of 7, so really still quite young, you had to move out. You'd done your confirmation, and you're kind of saying right now you're moving out to the Christian Brothers, was
it? In Tralee,
which is in Kerry.
That's Kerry. That's right, yeah.
And so what was that like? What's your memories of that place?
That was hard.
Yeah.
That was very hard.
In what way?
That was tough. It was hard in schooling, and it was hard in work. They had their own workshops that we had to work in.
Yeah.
And we were put to work at 7 years of age.
Oh, right.
Scrubbing kitchen floors, doing all the Christian brothers and the monks' dormitories.
Yeah.
You know, cleaning them.
Yeah.
Mopping them, shining them.
Yeah. And that's you, you're amongst all the other lads as well, because you, I mean, you were telling me before, and Dennis, that you often think about the lads from those times still. Cause
I do. I still think of them even after all those years, because they were my age. And, you know, when you go, you're young like that and you think, why can't they do their ABC? They couldn't do their ABC. There was something radically wrong that was never looked into.
Yeah.
And they were scourged.
Yeah.
So I got scourged as well for helping them with their, you know, with their arithmetic, melting arithmetic, because they couldn't do it, and the brothers knew they couldn't do it. But I done it for them, and I took the lash as well with it.
Yeah, so
but I was only too proud to take it.
Yeah,
You know.
Yeah, no. Well, so basically, they couldn't do the maths or the arithmetic and stuff. So
no.
you tried to do it for them.
Yeah.
In secret. Mm. But the brothers knew, and
yeah.
And you got hit for that. You'd get get a belting, and
yeah.
Well, it was a nice thing you're trying to do there, and it does sound like hard times, hard places.
I often wonder what's happened to them.
Are those lads from back there?
Yeah, there was about six or seven of them that was in my class.
Yeah.
They were really hard
and
times.
So even like by the end of the time there, so basically they'd stay with the Christian Brothers till you're 16. So them lads had stayed till 16.
Yeah, and then you were shipped out to any kind of a job, what they could find for you in them days. And then until you were 18, then that was the only time you could move on with your own life.
Yeah. But those lads, even when they like got to 16, still couldn't read and write. And
no, I never met them since.
No.
Because we all went our separate ways.
Yeah. Because even your brother, so your brother's a little bit older, Eddie. Yeah.
He's 2 years older than me, yeah.
So even like he left obviously before
he turned
you.
Out to be a great chef, you know. He worked out in Dingle Bay for the family for 3 or 4 years until his boss passed away with a heart attack when he was abroad somewhere.
Yeah, so he'd leave, and that was his first job that he went to. He was kind of working and stuff. And Eddie's in Sheffield, isn't he? So
yeah, Eddie came over to my wedding in 1984.
And he's still here. Couldn't get rid of him.
Couldn't get rid of him.
But he's a great singer as well. I love Eddie singing. Yeah. He'll sing along on a Monday night, won't he?
He's a fantastic man, Eddie.
He is. He's great. Well, we're about to play another song from that time. So you've picked The Wild Colonial Boy. Why have you picked this one?
I picked that song because the Christian Brothers used to have us together in the choir. And that was the song we had to sing off of the blackboard. And it's a great song.
It's my granddad's favourite song, apparently. So that's so.
If you ever watched The Quiet Man, the film The Quiet Man, John Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the opening thing in the pub.
Yeah, So
The Wild Colonial Boy.
By the Clancy Brothers.
His mother's pride and joy, and dearly did his parents love the Wild Colonial Boy.
At the early age of 16 years, he left his native home, and to Australia's sunny shore he was inclined to roam. He robbed the rich, he helped the poor, he shot James McAvoy.
And terror to Australia was the Wild Colonial Boy.
When morning on the prairie, as Jackie rode along, a listening to the mockingbird, singing a cheerful song,
Up stepped a band of troopers, Kelly, Davis and Fitzroy. They all set out to capture him, the wild colonial boy. Surrender now, Jack Duggan, for you see we're free to one. Surrender in the king's high name, you are a blundering son. Jack Rue took pistols from his belt, he proudly waved them high.
I'll fight, but not surrender, said the wild colonial boy. He fired a shot at Kelly, which brought him to the ground. And turning round to Davis, he received a fatal wound. A bullet pierced his proud young heart from the pistol of Fitzroy. And that was how they captured him, the wild colonial boy.
Hey, the wild colonial boy. That was the Clancy Brothers version, Dennis. You've seen the Clancy Brothers, haven't you?
Oh, many times. Many times in Sheffield and in Ireland.
What venues did they play in Sheffield? Where have you?
They played at City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
They played at the Fiesta.
Okay, the Fiesta Club. You used to see a few bands there, didn't you?
That's right, yeah.
So where we are on Deserted Island Dis, we've got Dennis in tonight, who's fantastic. He's one of, as I say, my favourite singer in all of Sheffield. You're better than like Richard Dawley and all that. You're much more fun.
Well, it's nice to hear that.
No, it is. It's great. I enjoy listening to you and watching you all the time. It's fantastic. But we're still talking about your childhood and the difficult, I suppose, that growing up in an orphanage and you'd gone across to the Christian Brothers. But you did well with your reading and writing, didn't you? So they did.
It's my favourite subject was maths, obviously. I loved figures.
All right, I didn't know.
I liked geography.
Yeah.
And English and music.
That's gone.
Music was my main thing.
Yeah, no, I can tell music stuck with you, hasn't it, for these years. But then, so the system there, it was kind of, I suppose it's for people listening now, it's kind of strange to think about, is that basically once you're 16 years old, you have to leave.
Yes, that was the orders of the government at the time.
And you really didn't know where you was going to go. So they had,
no.
Tell us about how you got your job or what happens when you're 16.
I was just told to get ready and get scrubbed up and then taken off in this car.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the name of the car. It was a Volkswagen.
Okay.
And he shook hands with me and off I went.
Yeah.
Off to Phoenix Island.
So did you know what kind of work you were going to be doing when you were...
Yes, I was told I was going to be on a farm.
So you're going to work on a farm,
yes.
But you had no choice in that, did you?
No, that you had to do whatever you were given.
Whatever it is. So it's basically, as I understand it, people in Ireland would come a lot when they needed a worker of any kind. So your brother went off to work in a hotel.
Yes.
So basically it was just kind of look at a draw about kind of who needed
the
next boy that was going to reach 16. Yeah. And just for you, go and tell us, so it was a farmer.
So I was shipped out and driven out to this island, which was so, so wild.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, it was in the middle of nowhere off the South Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
From the southwest of Kerry coast, and I was there for 3 years.
Wow.
I made myself to love it because of...
He had no choice.
He was into music as well.
Oh, good. That's
so
good.
That put a big thing in my step and my heart.
Yeah.
And I used to sing songs for him and he used to play them on his button accordion.
Okay.
My boss, Sean Parker, was his name.
So where did you know the songs from? How did you learn songs?
I learned them all through my youthful days.
Right.
So in the nunnery and in the monastery.
So was it?
That's where I learned them all.
Okay.
And I kept learning more and more and more.
As you could. Well, and how would you find songs back then? Just whatever you heard on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever's
I
around.
Like a variety of music, but folk music.
Yeah.
Irish folk music has got, they've all got stories to them, you know.
Yeah. I love that, yeah.
Any folk singer will tell you there's always a good story behind a folk song.
Yeah, that's true. So on the, you're on this island then,
yeah,
off the coast of Kerry.
That's right, yeah. It's called Feeney's Island.
Feeney's Island, yeah.
Yeah. There was only 5 families on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The person you with, they had a family as well.
Yeah.
So he had a wife and kids, did he?
They had 4 children.
Right.
And while I was there, one of his daughters and one of his sons passed away. Oh. They had terrible breathing problems that they were born with.
Oh, wow.
And that broke my heart, really.
Yeah, it would.
And I stuck it out for 3 long years.
What was your job there?
He had 200 milk cows, Friesian. A Friesian cow is a black and white cow, if you don't know.
That's what they used to call them in the fields now.
And they are the best milkers. So he had 200 and he had over 20,000 acres of land.
Really?
He was one of the biggest farmers in Kerry.
Well, it must be a big island then.
In Ireland. And he was a hard worker, but he was fair.
Yeah.
You know, I got my 3 square meals a day. That was all I was bothered about.
Yeah. Did you get any money?
£1.50 a week.
Okay.
That was it. £1.50 in 1965.
Yeah. And if you got all you, I mean, you couldn't spend it, could you? There's not a lot to spend it on.
No, I bought myself an old rusty bicycle. Yeah. Because I used to have to go to the hop. Do you know what the hop is?
No.
The hop in Ireland in them days was a little dance.
Okay.
Which was, the village hall.
Yeah.
And the priest used to have all the girls on one side and all the lads on the other side. And he used to have a great big bamboo. And when the waltz came on, he used to put the bamboo to me. He said, you didn't get too close.
Yeah, not too close. You had to keep,
keep your distance.
Yeah.
Oh, they were laughable.
Yeah.
I spent 3 years there, and I used to drive into the little village, Feeney village, and I found out there was great music in the village as well. Right. In the pubs, there was only 3 pubs in the village.
Yeah,
and I used to frequent into them and sing. The farmer's sons used to lift. I was only 7 stone. I was only very light, and they used to plank me on the table and give me a half a pint of Guinness and say, come on now, sing us some songs.
Oh, magic. Well, I might do the same then, Dennis. Sing us a song then, Dennis. And kind of tell us when you first heard this one and introduce it. And what I might do when Dennis is finished singing, I'm going to go straight into another song that you knew from this time. So take it away, Dennis.
Right, this is a song that Johnny McAvoy made famous in Ireland back in the mid-60s, around the time I was working out in Feeney's Island, and it was called Tell Me Ma. It goes something like this. Tell me, ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair and they stole my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is a court in a 1, 2, 3, oh please won't you tell me who is she? Albert Mooney says he loves her, all the boys are fighting for her. They're rapping on her door and they're ringing her bell, saying, oh my true lover, you will. Well, out she comes, as white as snow, rings on her finger and bells on her toes. But old Jimmy Murray says she'll die. She doesn't get the fellow with the roving eye. Tell me, ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair, stole my comb, and that's all right till I go home. She's handsome, she's pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She is a court in a 1, 2, 3, oh, please, won't you tell me who is she? The wind and the rain, the wind blow high, snow comes travelling from the sky. She's as nice as apple pie, she'll get her own lad by and by. When she gets this lad of her own, she won't tell him how when she gets home. Let them all come, Marcy will, it's Albert Mooney she loves still. I tell me, ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair, stole my comb, that's alright till I go home. She's handsome, she's pretty, she's the girl of Belfast City. She's a court in a 1, 2, 3. Please won't you tell me Who is she?
Hooray! Fabulous! Well done, Dennis.
Boston, a place you all know well. Brought up by honest parents, the truth to you I'll tell. Brought up by honest parents and raised most tenderly, till I became a sporting lad at the age of 23. My character was taken and I was sent to jail. My friends, they came and tried in vain to get me out on bail. The jury found me guilty, the clerk, he wrote it down. The judge, he passed the sentence, I was bound for Charlestown. They placed me on an eastbound train one cold December day, and every station we passed through, you could hear the people say, there goes the Boston burglar, in cold chains he's bound. For one crime or another, he is bound for Charlestown. All you who have your freedom, take a warning if you can. And don't go round the streets at night, breaking laws of God and man. For if you do, you'll surely rue and find yourself like me, serving up full 20 years in the penitentiary.
That's the Boston Burglar, Johnny McAvoy. That's the choice of my guest, Dennis Carmody, here today. If you just join us, you've missed the right treat, because Dennis just sang us a Tell Me Ma. It's fabulous. And if you did miss it, you'd have to go down to the Grapes on Tribute Lane on a Monday night, won't you, Dennis?
That's right. I'm there every Monday night if you want to come down. Everybody's welcome.
It is a great, great night. We're going to talk about that a bit later on some more. So we're just getting through your life. But, I mean, the Grapes has been a big part of your life. But first of all, we need to get you to England. So you were working on the farm. And what hours were you working? What was the hours there?
Oh, I was working 4:30 in the morning. This is in the summer months.
Yeah.
Till about 11 at night.
Wow.
And that went on from March right up to October.
Wow.
And then in the winter months, I'd done about 5:30 in the morning till about 7:00 in the evening.
And did you get a day off?
No. I had to work 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
They had 200 milk calves. They had to be milked twice a day.
Yeah.
And then in the winter when they were calving in the month of up to November, right up to March or April, even sometimes as late as April.
Yeah.
And I pulled many a calf from a cow, delivered one.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Many.
So was that just...
He learnt me everything, you know.
Yeah.
He was a great learner, my boss at the time.
Yeah.
Great man.
Yeah. So I suppose you needed to be with that many. How many cows were they? Sorry.
Yeah, 200 milk cows.
200 milk cows. And they were just roam wild. And yeah. It's not like the dairy farms now where they're all right inside.
Oh, times have changed.
Yeah.
I feel a great part of the farming community all around the world. Because I've seen it all. I've done it myself for 3 long years.
Yeah.
So I know what's required.
And his long
and then alongside his milk cows, he done a lot of tillage, you know. He's sown a lot of beetroot, you know.
Oh, okay, right. So, yeah, so
no, sugar beet.
Yeah.
And potatoes.
Yeah, so he was doing that.
There was all that in between.
Yeah. And he was saying, well, there's loads of stuff that's interesting from that. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but you're also saying like there was a tide, didn't there? So when you did try and go to the hop, you had to be back.
I had to get to the village and... Off of the mainland, I had to go to the harbour master and ask him.
Yeah.
What time was the tide coming out and coming in?
Yeah.
And he was a great character, him, you know.
Yeah.
He was a good sailor and all. He was a good singer. I used to sing that, Hines. You know, the sailing song.
Not Rod Stewart.
Not Rod Stewart number away. Very old Irish song.
Yeah. No, there is loads.
But he used to tell me, write it down for me.
Yeah.
I'd stick it in my back pocket and peddle away.
Yeah. And did you ever miss it?
Once. Once I did.
What happened?
I got a telling off.
So did you have to stay overnight in on the mainland?
I barely pedalled through because it was going down. So I took a chance and I had to swing around these big boulders, you know.
Oh, you couldn't see where they were and stuff. Yeah, no. Oh, well, you made it in one piece, thankfully.
It's part of life, isn't it?
Well, not most people's life, Dennis. Part of your life, yeah.
So then after 3 long years, I decided, I met some friends in the town of Tralee because whenever I heard an instrument, even if a note, it used to put a beat into my heart and a spring in my step. So once a week, he used to drive me into Tralee to where the music was.
Yeah.
And I used to get a lift home from the farmer's sons. And I used to go into the bars. And one day I met this guy. He says, why are you doing out in Phoenix Island? In the time you got another job and earned yourself a bit more money.
Yeah.
And I says, what do you do? He says, my father is a builder. You can come and work for us.
Okay.
And I'll give you £15 a week.
Wow.
And that was from, mind you, I was fed 3 times a day.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I got £1.50.
Yeah, but I mean, minimum wage there, the amount of hours you were doing now.
I took his offer up.
Yeah.
And I was with him for 9 months. They were great people.
Is that still in Kerry?
In Tralee, the town of Tralee. He was building, he was used to build private houses. But in them days... It wasn't all easy. You had to dig the foundations up with a pick and shovel.
Yeah, there's no diggers.
The machinery they've got today is unbelievable.
So that was your digging holes?
Yeah.
Digging holes, yeah.
Digging foundations and serving 2 of his sons. They had 3 sons. One was an electrician and 2 of them were bricklayers.
Yeah.
They used to lay, not kidding, 5,000 bricks each in one day.
Wow. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we had 2 mixers going for they call it in this country gobble, we used to call it for the cement.
Yeah, for the cement. And so you'd be
and
doing
then
that.
And we used to have the other mixer for the concrete, for the foundations.
Yeah.
So.
Again, hard work. But
hard work, but still it was okay.
But I suppose.
I do laugh now, back in my life, that the hilarious things that happened to me and what I saw.
Okay, anyone you want to share?
Yeah.
Go on.
About my own brother.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know whether you ever heard the story, but my boss, when I was thinking of leaving him, we used to go in and sell, you know, when the cattle were, them calves were 2 years old, he used to sell them on for money.
Yeah.
As bullocks and heifers and that. So one day we loaded his trailer up with about 20 of them, we went into the town Tralee to the market to sell them. All of a sudden, this guy is on a push bike. And there's a load of white paint coming off the spokes of his bicycle. And it's going on the windscreen of the tractor. And my boss turned around and said, I hope that Armadon gets out of my way. I was sat on the back of his, just behind him on the mudguard. I took one look. I says, oh, my God, that's my brother.
That's already. <Saturday.
laughs> That's already. And years later, I told him, I says, what were you doing riding through at 5 o'clock in the evening through the town of Tralee with all the paint on top of your head and everything? He says, there's another story behind that.
Yeah. I'm sure there is. You've had some fun scrapes, you and your brother, over the years, haven't you?
Yeah.
So... I've got loads and loads of, I could ask you about those times there, Dennis. But because Tralee obviously is in the Irish circles famous for the Rose of Tralee, and it was a festival
of Kerry, yeah.
Yeah,
that was good. That was really good.
So you were going there in the 60s, was it?
Yeah.
Right,
since
like?
I was 16, yeah.
So
right up to when I was.
Oh, so earlier then maybe, yeah. So you were in the late 50s,
it
60s,
was
brilliant.
Yeah. There was music on every street corner, in every pub. They'll come from all over the world, you know.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Great entertainment.
Yeah, so that place, because it's not a big place, Tralee, really, is it?
It's a small town. And it might have expanded now. I haven't been there for 2007 was the last time I was there. Then I decided to pack up and head for England. That was in 1969.
Yeah.
September. I hit the road for Dublin on the 12th, Friday the 12th.
Right.
September.
Yeah.
Booked myself a ticket for £4.50 and got on the cattle boat and arrived in Liverpool on Saturday the 13th of September, okay. 1969.
And you had family in Sheffield already, didn't you?
Yeah, I had relatives, yeah. First cousins that I never met, and uncles and aunts that I never knew.
Right.
You know.
But so is that on your dad's side, is it?
Or on my mum? Dad's, no, on my dad's side.
On your dad's side, yeah, yeah, it's in there. So you had somewhere, you knew you were heading to Sheffield.
Yes, yeah. Do you know what I had in my pocket? Half a crown.
Half a crown.
That's what I had to my name. I didn't have a suitcase or nothing, just the clothes that I was in.
Yeah. So that's a big decision. So I suppose you'd spent your money on your fare to get over, and yeah.
I spent my money in the Irish bars in Sheffield and in England and in the town of Tralee and out in Arnfert and all the dances that I used to play.
Right.
So
you're having a good time.
Old bike too.
Yeah, you're having a good time. Well, let's play. It's time for a song. I think we're going to play Black Velvet Band now.
Lou Kelly. Yeah.
Why have you chose this one?
I met him. I met Luke in 1973. Right. He was appearing at the Fiesta, and I happened to be in the Three Tons.
In Sheffield, yeah, club, yeah.
I happened to be in the Three Tons, and he walked in. Right. And I had a drink with him. And we became friends. Oh. And I was telling him about my days back, what you just mentioned, the Rose of Tralee, the Festival of Kerry, because they always played.
The Dubliners,
and the Clancy Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were reminiscent about them days.
Yeah, and he sadly, he died, though, didn't he?
He died in 1984. He was
quite young, didn't he?
40.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's cheer us up with Luke Kelly and the Black Velvet Band.
Very much.
Well, in a neat little town they call Belfast, the friendliest of trade I was found. Many an hour's sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. A sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land. Far away from my friends and relations, betrayed by the Black Velvet Band. That's happy now. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds. I called her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a Black Velvet Band. I took a stroll down Broadway, meaning not long for to stay. Who should I meet but this pretty fair maid, from a traipsing along the highway. She was both fair and handsome, her neck it was just like a swan's, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Everybody, her eyes they shone like diamonds. I thought her the queen of the land. Well, I knew she meant the doing of him by the love in her roguish black eye. A gold that she took from his pocket and placed it right into my hand. And the very first thing that I said was, "Bad cess to the Black Velvet Band." Her eyes, they shone like diamonds. I thought her the queen of the land. Next morning I had to appear.
it is proven clear. We'll give you 7 years penal servitude to be spent far away from the land, far away from your friends and companions, betrayed by the black velvet band.
Everybody,
hey, a round of applause, that should be for our Dennis, who's with me tonight. So we're in Deserted Island Discs. So it's the show where we talk to people who are born in Ireland that now live in Sheffield, and we get their life stories. I'm running out of Irish people to interview. So if anyone knows, anyone that fits the bill of being born in Ireland and now living in South Yorkshire, please get in touch with the show. So we've got an email address called Deserted Island Discs, as in the country island, and at gmail.com. So desertedislanddiscs@gmail.com. So we've got our guest tonight, Dennis. Hello, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good, good. We've only got less than 20 minutes left, and you've not arrived in Sheffield yet. So we need to crack up with your life and tell us about it. So it was the Summer of Love, 1969.
Yeah, September the 13th. And it was a Saturday morning. And it was raining cats and dogs.
Was it? That sounds like Sheffield.
I eventually made it to Sheffield with the help of some Liverpoolians that taught me where the station was. Is it Lime Street?
Lime Street in Liverpool, yeah.
So I hopped on the train there and I managed to get to Sheffield around 12 o'clock.
Right.
Noon.
And then, do you have an address?
My uncle picked me up.
Okay, so he knew
you. He says, where's your suitcase? I says, I don't have a suitcase. What about your clothes? I says, I've got them on.
Is that it? So you're just...
this is me.
Well, that's nice.
Says, when you could lots of money, yeah, so I've got a half a crown. Yeah. I flicked it in there and showed it to
him. Oh,
that's... Them are the days.
Those are the days. Well, are you young? How old were you then?
I was 20 and a half.
20 and a half. So you're young, carefree.
Yeah.
No attachments. No. You could do what you want. Yeah. And it's nice to do that. And obviously, your family, you'd never met him, had you? Or your uncle?
No, I didn't know him at all.
How did you reckon?
There's a story behind that. My landlady at the time, when I left my boss out of Phoenix Island, and I went working for... The Fitzgibbons family, that's what her name was. I don't know if they're still around or not, but they were a great family. One of them done a bit of digging and found out an address in Sheffield for me.
Okay.
And that's how I got it.
Right, so yeah. That
it took me a long time to get it because there was no technology in them days.
Yeah, and there'd been no contact with your dad. As I say, he died. Yeah. People just joined us, Dennis's dad. Died when Dennis was 6 months old, so you never knew him or had those connections with that side of the family, I suppose, was it? So
that's right, yeah.
It's there, so you go.
So anyway, I arrived in Sheffield and I thought, well, I've got to find a job. So within 3 days I was working. I got a job with a little company in Sheffield just off Whedon Street called Coopers and Turners.
Okay, is that Atticliffe Way, is it?
No, it's on your way to that big shopping mall.
Yeah, Meadowhall. Yeah, that way.
Not far from Meadowhall. And got a job there 6 to 2 and 2 to 10. Right. Working on a machine.
So in a kind of factory in... Yeah.
So I was there for 12 months.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I've got to spread my wings again. Try and do something better.
Yeah.
So they didn't want me to leave. They said, if not works out for you, then it's come back to us. I said, I will. But they all said that to me, Fitzgibbons family, the man in the island, Sean Parker, they all said that to me. You ever get stuck, come back. I says, I'll come back. Anyway, I never got back anyway to them. Anyway, I got the job and I was with them for 12 months, Cooper and Turners. They were a family outlet. There was a lot of family outlets in them days because British Steel was thriving.
Yeah.
In Sheffield, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of small cutlery firms as well.
Yeah.
But this one was making nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
On little hammers and that.
Yeah.
So that suited me for a while.
And then
I got to know myself around Sheffield.
Yes, you started going out in Sheffield. You found the Irish pubs.
I used to go to Sheffield city centre and I used to look in amazement with this hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember the hole in the ground?
I can't. See, I moved to Sheffield in 2001. It had gone by then, so I never saw it.
I never saw anything like that. And I'm saying to myself, where's all the people going to?
Yeah.
You know, when you're living out in the wilds and you're saying, where are
they? And what's that going on? Yeah, they're going down in a hole. Yeah. You have to work in the pits.
It took me a few years to get used to Sheffield.
Yeah.
But the people in Sheffield are the best.
And you obviously kept up your love of music, and in the evenings you'd find...
kept close to music.
You'd find pubs that would have songs on and singing, and you'd be still singing in pubs.
Some beautiful English folk songs as well that I came across.
Dirty Old Town. That's from my neck of the woods. Manchester way, yeah.
Manchester, yeah.
Salford, yeah, Manchester, yeah, yeah.
Well, even of Liverpool.
Great one. Great songs.
Great
yeah.
Folk songs.
Well, going back, you're going to sing as a folk song next, aren't you, Dennis? You sing quite a lot, which is
One of my favourite folk songs, Tom Paxton, the American folk singer.
Yeah. If you're ready, do you want to stand up and get your microphone ready and sing us The Last Thing on My Mind? Yes, you can. Yeah. So this is Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you The Last Thing on My Mind. Go something like this. It's a lesson too late for the learning. Made a sound, made a sound. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning. But in your hand, and in your hand. But are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. But you know that was the last thing on my mind. You had reasons all plenty for going. This I know, this I know. And the weeks have been steadily growing. Please don't go, oh please don't go. But are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. But you know that was the last thing on my mind. As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you. Every song in my heart lies that warning, without you, without you. But are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. And you know that was the last thing on my mind. Yes, you know that was the last thing on my mind.
Hey, well done, Dennis. That's fantastic. Oh, he's a great singer. What a great song. So where did you learn that one, Dennis?
I had a Tom Paxton Nickel LP, and I spotted it on it. I saw it on his Tom Paxton's LP, and there I picked it up, and I really like the lyrics to it.
Yeah, it's a great
it
song.
It says, if you really take notice of the lyrics, it means a lot.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's one of my mum's favourites as well. It's a great song from that time that was sang a lot in the folk clubs, I think, of around England at that time. But tell us about your kind of... tell us about the first meeting of, like, how you know Mrs. Flynn. So Mrs. Flynn, if people don't know, is the current landlady of the Grapes, and you've known her a long time.
Yeah. My cousin, Tim McMahon, he worked alongside her dad's pub in Blackburn Road called...
The Sportsman.
The Sportsman, yeah.
Yeah.
And he took me in there one night, and there was five beautiful girls in there. The father was outside, and he...
watching you.
He spoke, he looked at me. He took a good look at me and he spoke to Tim because he knew my cousin Tim very well. So that's how I first laid eyes on the great Anne Flynn.
Yeah, yeah.
And the great Anne Riley was her name.
Yes.
That was her maiden name.
Yeah.
They were Cork people, very nice people
from
County Cork. And then she got married to Mr. Flynn.
Yeah.
A very nice gentleman as well that I met. And then one day I went in and there was no Anne. Anne Riley was missing. I says to her dad, "Where's Anne?" "Oh, she's gone to work for Jerry Duggan on Attercliffe Common in the Queens."
Yeah.
So anyway, I says, "That's okay." I says, I'll call in one day because I've got to go for a shower."
Okay.
Because I didn't have a bath. I had to have myself my bath in a tub.
So,
because in them days in Sheffield it was hard. Not many houses had showers, you know.
Yeah.
So I used to go up to the baths in Attercliffe.
Okay.
And go in there and have
I
my
thought
shower.
You was having a shower in the pub? No.
I used to have a shower of Guinness afterwards in the pub.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, there she was serving.
Yeah.
Anne Riley. Yeah.
Yeah.
In that great pub, Jerry Duggan's, the Queen's.
Yeah.
And then another story happened. Oh, with that girl. My uncle says to me one day, "Dennis, it's bank holiday. Do you fancy going up to the town? I'll take you into a lovely Irish bar." Oh, I says, "Okay." So he took me into the Dog and Partridge on Trippet Lane.
Yeah.
My eyes flashed open.
And there's Anne.
And there's Anne.
Yeah, again.
So it was meant to be.
Yeah, that's it. And then you followed her. Yeah.
She was there for 40 years.
Yeah, a long time.
And she left in 2010, I think, and she moved next door to the Grapes on Trippet Lane, where I frequent every Monday night.
That's it.
And still whenever I can.
You stay there.
Yeah.
Well, we are running out of time. I know we're going to squeeze in at least one more song, but we need to talk about your kind of life and things that were going. So you did 38 years working in the same places.
Oh, yeah. I then left Coopers and Turners, that family firm. And they said, "Dennis, do you know the great thing about in them days? There was no CVs.
Yeah.
All you had was a telephone.
You turn up.
And an address. That's all you needed." So I went to work for Union Carbide, which was known then in them days as... I've forgotten the name.
Unilever, not Unilever.
But
So you worked
there. They changed the name in 1970 to Union Carbide.
Yeah.
And I worked there. I worked there as a labourer and I worked my way up to the machines.
So doing the lathe machines.
Yeah. And then they were producing carbon brushes made from, carbon graphite.
Graphite. Stuff,
they were well known for that.
Yeah.
And they used to make great big plates as well for British Steel, you know, for their furnaces.
Ah, okay.
For the plates to go on the furnace. Because that they could take was monstrous. So we do a lot of things for them. And British Rail and Otis, the lifts that people go in. And, the escalators.
Yeah, the brushes at the bottom,
Yeah, we used to put the brushes in there and make and manufacture the mortars and all that.
Yeah.
And I was there for 38 years.
Wow.
A happy 38 years.
Well,
and I worked with some wonderful Sheffield people.
I bet you did. And I bet they loved you.
So I'm now an Irish Sheffield man.
That's it. It's good. Well, that's what the show's about. That's what the show is. You're perfect for the show. But we're also, we couldn't be forgiven if we didn't talk about Linda and your wife and
about that. That's
so, I know there's lots of stories in
story.
It. So
one story follows another with my life.
It does. Just talk about, meeting Linda and how, your life together. I'm sorry, we'll have to get you back for part two, Dennis, another time to film more about your life. But tell us briefly what you can about Linda and meeting her.
Well, I met Linda through an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Right.
They were best mates. They were like two peas in the pod, if you want to say. And that's how it happened.
Okay.
So we've been married 41 years. 42 years this year.
Oh, fantastic.
1983, is that right?
That'll be 42 years this year, yeah.
September.
Very good.
Oh, no, August. August the 6th.
Right.
1983.
Very good.
I was stoned.
Sorry?
I was stoned.
You were stoned?
I don't remember getting married.
Is that right?
Well, we're still together, happily.
That's good to know. And two daughters?
Two daughters, yeah. Well,
and two grandchildren.
Helen is the youngest. She's 40. She works at the NHS in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And she's a manager there. And Donna is, she's 46. And she used to work for, you know, dogs and that, veterinary and all okay. that.
Yeah.
So, there you have it.
That's that. Great. Well, I'm going to get you to sing one song just to finish us off. But really, just to just lead us into that, you've been, I suppose, doing the music for a long time. And part of that, you were in a band, weren't you? Just tell us about the band, the Shamrock Men?
The Shamrock Band.
Shamrock Band, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that was made up of a cousin of mine, Mick McMahon, one of the finest banjo players and mandolin players I've ever heard.
Yeah, he was great.
He was a great player. Self-taught, you know. He had a few lessons here and there, but most of it was well self-taught. And the great John Dowland that I spoke about earlier on, he was the master man behind it.
Yeah.
Great accordion player and vocalist, you know, just like Michael. And then there was Reggie...
Reg,
you know, Reg.
The Nightingale.
The Nightingale, I present him.
You told him, because
he had a voice like a nightingale.
He did an amazing voice.
And myself.
Mate. Yeah.
And then there was Martin on the bower own.
Yeah. So it was a good crack, wasn't it?
You'd have it was a great crack. And we held together for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And we used to do a lot up at the community centre.
Yeah. And you was over at I've seen you a few times when you're playing. There's some good nights there, in place. So yeah, time's beating us, I'm afraid. So
all right.
You've got 3 minutes to sing us my favourite song that you do for me. So it's Listed Varnin, is that what it's called?
Oh, I'm a podgy from Tullawogy, and I've got money and acres of land. I'm looking for a honey with a bit of money. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. Oh, I'm off to Lisdonvarn at the end of the year, and I'm off for a bit of crack, oh, the women and the beer. I'm awful shifty for a man of 60. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. I've got a brother, he's in the Gardaí, and I've got an uncle, he's up there in the Dáil. He's quite a charmer, he's a mighty farmer. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm off to Lisdonvarn at the end of the year, and I'm off with a bit of crack. Oh, the women and the beer, I'm awful shifty for a man of 60. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. Now to conclude and finish my story, if there's a young one out there looking for a man, take the bus from Barna down to Lisdonvarna. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. Oh, I'm off to Lisdonvarna at the end of the year, and I'm off with a bit of crack. Oh, the women and the beer, I'm awful shifty for a man of 60. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man. Catch me if you can, my name is Dan, sure I'm your man.
Dennis, that's my favourite one. You'll do a little jig to that, won't you? I'll dance the way you do. That's great. Thank you, Dennis, for being on the show tonight.
Thanks
it's
for
been,
having
it's
me.
Been a massive. Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it, Ben. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's fine. Well, we didn't quite fit it all in, did we? We've got as much of your life we couldn't get in, but I suppose that's kind of the way it goes. There's so much more I want to find out about you. And you know, I see you quite often, don't you, down in the...
Yes.
But really, there's so much that I've learned from listening tonight, and hopefully everyone else has learned something about you that's there. So, and how's life now these days, Dennis?
I've had throat cancer, and I've got through that.
Yeah.
I got prostate, but that's okay. I'm getting through that as well.
Oh.
I'm 76 now.
Oh, well, it's been great. Thanks, Dennis. And I'm glad, so glad you're so healthy today and doing everything around that you can today. So, lovely day.